This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying with me, Khoo Soo Chuang and Phil C on the Morning Run. Now, quick recap of the KLCI. We are now at 1,563 points, unchanged on the day, but marking a 0.3% year-to-date decline.
Yeah, but slight change to the green we saw just now, a slight tweak upwards.
Yes, vacillating between gains and losses is what Malaysia loves to do. In the meantime, we now turn our attention to the Straits Times Index. As it has been bucking the trend, staying in positive territory, while most markets have taken a dive.
Despite the anticipated 3 rate hikes by the Fed Reserve, even the macroeconomic data points were positive as the Lion City posted strong GDP growth of 7.2% in 2021 and the index gave a return of 14% in 2021. So will Singapore's stock market continue to beat expectations in 2022?
Well, to answer that $64 million question, we now turn to Jeff Howie, the market strategist at Singapore Exchange. Now, Jeff, Singapore ended strong in 2021, 14% jump in the Straits Times Index, and even so far this year, the index is up by 4%. What's the reason for your outperformance?
Well, I guess the SDI, it's weighted really 40% to the three banks, okay? Not 64% weighted, but 40% weighted to our three banks. And they collectively saw 1.8 billion Sing dollars of net institutional inflows last year. And the trio averaged 25% total returns. Now, that was very much in line with global banks. Global banks last year gained 23%. And so far this year, we've seen the three banks average 8% gains. And that's, again, has been very much in line with global bank stocks that have generated around 7% gains over the past 1 to 2 weeks. So the outperformance really comes down to sector weightings. Global banks have led the global stock market in early January, and after that's also after they were among the strongest sectors last year. So really it comes down to sector weightings. So sector weightings also explain why, for instance, the Taiwan TAIEX outperformed last year, because the semiconductor sector was also among the world's strongest sectors last year.
How long do you think this outperformance for banks will be? And specifically in Singapore, what drives bank performance there?
Well, there's a number of factors, I guess. Really, normalization of interest rates is key and crucial at the moment. The strength of Singapore and global banks last year, and of course in recent weeks, has been on the back, firstly, of resilient investment activity, which has been observed across the globe. And also last year, we had a 60 basis point upward structural shift of the 2 to 10 US yield curve. And this year, so far, for, as I said, for that 1-2 weeks, that upward structural shift has been extended by another 20 basis points. Now, that's all on the back of these increased expectations for interest rate hikes in the US this year. Now, as of the end of last year, the US economy, it represented a quarter of the global economy. It represents 40% of the global stock market. So in addition to the US dollar being the world's reserve currency. So hence, the US interest rates, they always have global impacts. And that, as we said, our banks here, they benefit from normalized interest rates, which we are seeing this process play out. But, you know, the banks basically, the reason being is the banks borrow on the short end of the yield curve and basically lend on the long end of the yield curve. So you've had steepening as well as we say, this upward structural shift. Much of the steepening last year and then this upward structural shift recently. The other drivers, aside from the potential and progressive normalization of interest rates, obviously, continued momentum across wealth management and insurance services is important. Of course, the gradual reopening of borders and the ability to keep allowances low really matter.
Well, in terms of whether to expect more outperformance on the STI, when you look at the devaluations of the Singapore lenders, the DBS Group is at 1.6 times book value, UOB is at 1.2 times, and OCBC is at 1.08 times. This relatively seems undemanding. Jeff, do you think that stands for more outperformance from the lenders this year?
Well, look, it really all comes down to the economy as well. Those, if you look at those, you're looking at price-book ratios and price-book premiums with those numbers by the sounds of it. Now, if you average them out, they're pretty close, I guess, getting up towards 1.4. And that 1.4, that 40% average premium to book value, it did coincide with the average PB back in 2017. And you might recall back in 2017, it was an interesting year in that it was the strongest performing year the STI was among the world's most strongest benchmarks for that year, and the Singapore economy was also among the strongest advanced economies for that year. So that's basically almost as high as the premium has been in recent years, and obviously it's a key level to test.
So, you know, shifting away from banks, you know, with this expectation of these 3 to 4 potential rate hikes, you know, which sectors are likely to be able to stay the course despite all this monetary tightening?
Well, look, for the other sectors, it really depends on what the drivers of the tightening is. What are the drivers of these interest rate hikes? Is it inflation driven? If it is inflation driven, then the relevant sectors are obviously commodity related. Yet if it's more growth related and buoyed by the increased progress in containing COVID, then the relevant sectors would be obviously those travel, hospitality and construction sectors that have been more impacted by COVID-19 constraints. So it really depends on the drivers.
Yeah, and Jeff, I mean, Singapore last year did what, you know, obviously followed America's playbook in terms of share buybacks. We saw close to $1 billion in buybacks, about 85 PLCs. Do you think there's going to be more of that this year? And, you know, who are those companies primed to do so?
Yeah, that's a good question, because as we said, back in 2017, right, Singapore was among the strongest advanced economies in the world. STI was one of the strongest benchmarks. But we did see the share buyback consideration for that year half the consideration of the year before, 2016. So buybacks can be obviously driven by market performance. And by far, the highest monthly tally for buyback consideration was amid those sharp declines we saw in March 2020. Now, real estate developers are pretty much consistently among the prominent sectors that we do see conduct regular buybacks. But I should mention one of the STI stocks, which was, I guess, pretty much the strongest SDI stock from the time it announced the buyback program back in early September last year, right through to the end of the year. It did highlight the role of expanding its business versus conducting buybacks. It noted that its longstanding capital allocation practice was firstly to prioritize investment in new assets that drive long-term growth and shareholder value. Secondly, facilitate continued payment of steady increasing dividends, but thirdly, invest in existing assets on an opportunistic basis, which include share buybacks through share buybacks. So as we say, the market tempo does matter. I should also mention, just 4 weeks ago, an SGX-listed Indonesian coal miner that does export a significant amount of its coal to China announced it was conducting share buybacks for the first time ever, and that was part of the company's long-term capital management, which the CEO spelled out would be aiming to increase value for shareholders and strengthen the return on equity.
So the sense, Jeff, is saying is perhaps less share buybacks and more reinvestments in real parts of the economy. Which sectors do you think will do that over the long term?
Well, it depends. Obviously, Singapore economy is 25% manufacturing, and a large proportion, perhaps 70%, is services focused. Now, of the manufacturing stocks, it's interesting because that relationship of the manufacturing sector to the economy extends to the stock market as well, because manufacturing stocks do make up 25% of the day-to-day turnover, if you will, when you look at the most traded stocks. So there's really, when you're moving in these times of an uneven economy because of COVID-19 constrained growth, you've got almost like a tale of two cities. So much will obviously depend on our progress in COVID-19. When new strains appear, you know, there's obviously the three key things that we look for: severeness, vaccine efficacy, as well as how transmissible the strains are. So they will be key drivers that really will determine the tempo of these various sectors in the year.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for your time. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist for the Singapore Exchange.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.